In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us quieten in this evening for a moment in thanksgiving and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, holy and righteous God, we come here this evening, dear Father, desiring to thank you for the blessings and gifts of this day. Dear Father, we thank you for all that we have in this daily bread. And we ask that you would continue to provide even that for us. But dear Father, we above all wish to give our humble thanks to Thee for this greatest gift that You have gifted unto us, which we own in our hearts. This gift of Your dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Father, we thank you for this precious and greatest gift of living faith. And with this thanks, dear Father, we pray unto Thee that You would continue to give us strength to believe. Continue to show us that simple way, that childlike way, which leads us to heaven's glory. Dear Father, remember those who are beset by illness and heavy trials. Comfort and uplift them. Give them understanding and strength to accept your will. For we understand through faith that all things happen and come in your time. We enclose all our thoughts and prayers, dear Father, in that perfect prayer that your dear Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I thought I would read a couple verses this evening, dear brother and sister, from that familiar Sermon on the Mount found in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I'm not even sure why these words have come to my mind. But nevertheless, they kept, no matter what I read today, they kept popping into my mind. So I will read these words with that prayer that God will give unto us as he sees necessary at this time. The words are in Jesus' name as follows. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. As I already mentioned, these words were Jesus' words from that sermon there on the Mount. Speaks of the two ways of life, we could say. When we think about the two ways of life, how Jesus describes it here, there's a broad way that leads to everlasting condemnation, and there is a narrow way which you and I, dear brother and sister, are traveling on this evening. Which leads us to the shores of heaven. It seems like these days there's many questions. As we heard through our dear brother this morning, it almost feels to me, in the things I've heard and witnessed, conversations, that maybe man is trying to broaden the way, make the way to heaven in a way that justifies sin. I don't know what it is. But what I do know, dear brother and sister, is the way to heaven that has been spelled out in this book, the Holy Scriptures, is a simple way. It's a way that one needs to humble themselves. And one needs to continually humble themselves. Putting sin away when it besets. There have been those who have recently left God's kingdom and I know I've spoken of it before, that they have this thought that their matters can be taken care of directly between them and the Heavenly Father. If this was the case, dear brother and sister, I ask you, was Christ's work in vain? We know the teachings of the Holy Scriptures that it is impossible for this to take place. Let us not begin to devise some way that our own minds will think that this is how I can get to heaven. Jesus even spoke further here in this sermon. And he says here that it's in the 21st verse, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." In reading this, I think about that portion where the Apostle Paul spoke about his countrymen. And I believe he said it in this way, that they have a zeal of God. They know that there is a God. They understand that there is a God. But then what did he say? That they understand, how they understand, it's not according to knowledge. So what is this knowledge that the Apostle Paul speaks of? It is that third person in the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. There have been those that have been troubled about the simple matter of forgiveness. Dear brother and sister, it's a simple matter. Maybe I think of it in two simple terms. But, because there are those that will say that forgiveness will never be withheld. Of course our intention always is to forgive, isn't it, dear brother and sister? When someone comes and asks, we forgive. Without question. But I think it's important for us to remember, whose forgiveness is it? It is God's forgiveness. Through that Holy Spirit, which is God in the third person. God is almighty. God is all powerful. And God knows all. We can just simply put our trust in God, dear brother and sister, on these matters. We don't need to worry. We don't need to put out these hypothetical questions that what if this or what if that? Let's put our trust in God. God directs us through the Spirit. There have even been those now that are beginning to think that this robe of righteousness that we carry does not need to be washed. Dear brother and sister, it's scriptural. We remember in the Revelations where John on that Isle of Patmos witnessed this. I'm going to read it. I think it's in Revelation 7. And I'm going to read 13 and 14. It says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" This was John's vision of those who have gained the victory and those who will gain the victory. "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." I ask you, dear brother and sister, what is this washing of the robes? It is simply putting sin away when it besets. Let's not get confused on this matter. There are some that want to totally disregard that great gift that God has given us, the gift of confession. We have heard spoken many times that God would not have given us this gift if we wouldn't need it. In 1 John chapter 1, at the end of that chapter, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So I was reading about this further. And in Proverbs, it also speaks about this same matter. In the 28th chapter, verses 13 and 14, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Let us not forsake this special gift that we have been given. I know for my own part, this gift of confession has been a precious gift. I have sat there in the service bench with those matters that have weighed me down, oh, wanting so much to believe, but just couldn't. And it's so amazing, with many prayers to God, that He would give strength to go to a confessor, mother or father. Speak of those matters that are weighing you down. And when we do this, how quickly that matter disappears. It doesn't have to be a perfect confession. But may we fear God, which is fearing sin. We heard this morning so preciously through our dear brother, continually seek those old paths. God's Word reminds us so preciously that Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need this gospel. It isn't suffice to hear it one time, and then we carry that name of a child of God. The Bible speaks about the gospel being the power of God unto salvation. I think of that portion in the gospel where Peter went to Jesus asking Him, how oft shall he forgive his brother? Peter thought 7 times in one day would be plenty. This portion also reminds us of the importance of us putting sin away, as it besets. Dear brother and sister, the way to heaven, Christ prepared it so simply for us. And the way to heaven will remain clear for us when we endeavor to do what the Bible teaches. Simply putting sin away when it besets. Then the way to heaven remains clear. The enemy of souls, he wants it to become foggy. He wants us to start devising our own way. He wants us to preach to us that how I can do this and still believe in. May we always carry and have this heart of a child. That we listen to that voice of the Spirit, the congregation mother. When those matters are warned of sin, that we heed those warnings. When we are reminded of what is wrong and what is right, that we listen to that voice. We are reminded many times in the Revelations, as those letters were written to those different churches, it always ended with that, "Hear what the Spirit saith unto the church." We don't want to become so wise that this Spirit of God, this voice of the congregation, is no longer needed. That I no longer need to listen to that voice because I can get to heaven some other way. We are in a dangerous place, dear brother and sister, when we start to think this. This text that we read, it says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Isn't it our prayer, dear brother and sister, that all of those on the outside of God's kingdom would hear this call? It brings joy to our hearts when we hear of someone receiving the grace of repentance. Our hearts rejoice, don't they? That they own now that same gift that we have been given. Let's take care of this gift, dear brother and sister. You dear youth, take care of it. Take care of one another. Remind one another. If someone is straying, this is how we will get to heaven's glory. Is by helping one another. This is how God works in His kingdom today. We think about that Spirit of God. Each child that is born in this world owns that Spirit. It is placed there. And if we don't take care of sin, the Spirit will leave. It is a pure Spirit. It is a clean Spirit. It is God's Spirit. And we remember when Jesus left, He left those keys with His disciples. Those keys to loose and those keys to bind. Those keys to remit and those keys to retain. This is how God does His work in His kingdom. Through pardoned sinners. Forgiveness cannot be granted any other way. But now, through that third person in the Godhead, through the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. This is how that message is proclaimed. Now, may we continually have this prayer to God. That this message would never get old. That we would always hunger for it. And God will lead us to the destination. When we think of those examples in the Bible where sin has been forgiven, there's always been at least two there. Sins cannot be forgiven through me and just God alone. I've had those discussions with those who have lost their gift of faith. And it's amazing to me how quickly that understanding is lost. That they feel they can take their matters straight to the Heavenly Father. It's not according to Scriptures. May we always, as that songwriter writes, heed the Holy Scriptures. Dear brother and sister, uplift your hearts and believe all of your sins and doubts, your fears forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We have a good God, a God that will continue to carry us to heaven's glory. May we listen to that voice and simply put our sins away when they beset, and the way will remain clear. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Dear brother and sister, you are counted as those few that God has called. It is a narrow pathway. But as we've often heard, this pathway is not too narrow that we can't walk side by side, helping each other on this way to heaven's glory. This is how God will help us. We can put our confidence and trust in our Heavenly Father. He wants us to get to heaven's glory. He loves us, and He will lead us there. All we need to do is be obedient, believing upon that merit work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He paid for our sin debt so perfectly. Believe, all sins forgiven, in Jesus' name and blood. I too want to hear that gospel that can I have my sins and doubts forgiven. My desire is to continue to believe with you. And dear brother and sister, I ask for my own part and my family, and also for those other dear brothers that serve you and all of God's servants. Remember them in prayer. That God would give them understanding and strength and wisdom. As we know, we cannot do this on our own, but it is God that hears your prayers on our behalf. And I ask for your continued prayers. It is a precious kingdom that we dwell in. We feel so safe and secure. My prayer is that we would all make it to the destination. And we will. We simply all have to do is believe our sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And may God grant us, and each one of you, a safe journey to heaven. In Jesus' name, and always blessed name, amen. Let us quieten our hearts in closing benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.